And all in all, is a decent soul, I reckon, if you keeps her where you can see her. It looks like we got Esme back, but I don't know. She's acting funny and quiet, not like herself normally, so I'm keeping an eye on her just in case Lily pulled a fast one in the mirror. But I think she's getting better, because when she woke up, she asked my grat for a look at the wand, and then she kind of twiddled and twisted them rings on it, and turned the paw into a bunch of flowers. And Magrat said she could never make the wand do that, and Esme said no, because she wasted time wishing for things instead of working out how to make them happen. What I say is, what a good job Esme never got a wand when she was young. Lily would have been a picnic by comparison. Enclosed is a picture of the cemetery here. You can see folks are buried in boxes above ground, the soil being so wet, because you don't want to be dead and drowned at the same time. They say travelling broadens the mind. I reckon I could pull mine out my ears now and knot it under my chin. All the best, Mum. In the swamp, Mrs. Goggle, the voodoo witch, draped the tailcoat over its crude stand, stuck the hat on top of the pole, and fastened the cane to one end of the crosspiece with a bit of twine. She stood back. There was a fluttering of wings. Legba dropped out of the sky and perched on the hat. Then he crowed. Usually he only crowed at nightfall because he was a bird of power, but for once he was inclined to acknowledge the new day. It was said afterwards that every year on Samedi Nuit Mort, when the carnival was at its height and the drums were loudest and the rum was nearly all gone, a man in a tailcoat and a top hat, and with the energy of a demon, would appear out of nowhere and lead the dance. After all, even stories have to start somewhere. There was a splash, and then the waters of the river closed again. Magrat walked away. The wand settled into the rich mud, where it was touched only by the feet of the occasional passing crawfish, who didn't have fairy godmothers and aren't allowed to wish for anything. It sank down over the months, and passed, as most things do, out of history, which was all anyone could wish for. The three broomsticks rose over Genua with the mists that curled towards the dawn. The witches looked down at the green swamps around the city. Genua dozed. The days after fat lunchtime were always quiet, as people slept it off. Currently, they included Grebo, curled up in his place among the bristles. Leaving Mrs. Pleasant had been a real wrench. "Well, so much for La Douche Vita," said Nanny philosophically.
"We never said goodbye to Mrs. Goggle," said Magrat.
"I reckon she knows we're going, right enough," said Nanny. "Very knowing woman, Mrs. Goggle."
"But can we trust her to keep her word?" said Magrat.
"Yes," said Granny Weatherwax.
"She's very honest in her way," said Nanny Og.
"Well, there's that," Granny conceded. "Also, I said I might come back."
Magrat looked across at Granny's broomstick. A large round box was among the baggage strapped to the bristles.
"You never tried on that hat she gave you," she said.
"I had a look at it," said Granny coldly. "It don't fit."
"I reckon Mrs. Goggle wouldn't give anyone a hat that didn't fit," said Nanny. "Let's have a look, eh?" Granny sniffed and undid the lid of the box. Balls of tissue paper tumbled down towards the mists as she lifted the hat out. Magrat and Nanny Og stared at it. They were, of course, used to the concept of fruit on a hat. Nanny Og herself had a black straw hat with wax cherries on for special family feuding occasions, but this one had rather more than just cherries. About the only fruit not on it somewhere was a melon.
"It's definitely very foreign," said Magrat.
"Go on," said Nanny. "Try it on." Granny did so, a bit sheepishly, increasing her apparent height by 2 feet, most of which was pineapple.
"Very colourful, very stylish," said Nanny. "Not everyone could wear a hat like that."
"The pomegranates suit you," said Magrat.
"And the lemons," said Nanny Og.
"Eh? You two ain't laughing at me, are you?" said Granny Weatherwax suspiciously.
"Would you like to have a look?" said Magrat. "I have a mirror somewhere."
The silence descended like an axe. Magrat went red. Nanny Og glared at her. They watched Granny carefully.
"Yes," she said, after what seemed a long time. "I think I should look in a mirror."
Magrat unfroze, fumbled in her pockets, and produced a small wooden-framed hand mirror. She passed it across. Granny Weatherwax looked at her reflection. Nanny Oggs,